keeping that same attitude, but we want to preach on what we're getting ready to sing about. Is that okay with you guys this morning? Amen. Good. Even if it wasn't, we were still going to do that. So we believe that God has a word for you. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord all across the building this morning? And so we are glad if you are joining us online. We pray that you don't change the channel. You know how you do that whenever you're going through Facebook. You just look at the next thing for 5 seconds. We're becoming a culture like that. And so we need to stay focused and tuned in to God's purpose for our lives and the favor. Somebody say favor. Savor. We would anybody like Chick-fil-A? Anybody like Chick-fil-A in the house? Okay, some Chick-fil-A. How many people? For me, anybody? I've never been to Chick-fil-A. You've never been to Chick-fil-A? So we're gonna have free Chick-fil-A next Sunday. So we want you to come and make sure you're a part. And so for me, we have a sandwich. Anybody ever had a Popeye's chicken sandwich? Anybody ever had a Popeye's chicken sandwich? Yeah. Okay. So I don't know which one you like or which one you prefer. I know there are chicken wars out there. There are a lot of chicken wars. And so we know personally the people that run Chick-fil-A here in Houma. And so we get the benefit of having free gift cards to Chick-fil-A. Amen. And so we get sandwiches sometimes. And then sometimes we give it out to our kids and students and church members. And so Chick-fil-A is a phenomenon. It's a phenomenon. I don't know if you know anything about Chick-fil-A, but it whenever it used to be back, remember whenever Chick-fil-A was in the mall way back in the day? And you had to go to the mall and get the Chick-fil-A. You remember malls? Those things that you go to buy things. People don't do that anymore. But we used to all go to the mall together. And I would never eat at Chick-fil-A. It'd be hot dog. What is that name? Corn dog 7. Corn dog 7. And so anyway, Chick-fil-A moved from the mall. And then they actually went over into Martin Luther King. Best decision ever of their life, if you ask me. Now, it's interesting. Chick-fil-A is a Christian company. A Christian, they have said their belief in Christ. The owner is a Christian. And one of the things that he said about himself was that he was going to make the decision to close on Sunday. Now, Kanye West, if you're young in the building and you listen to Kanye, his new stuff, he has a song called Chick-fil-A. Close on Sunday, you're my Chick-fil-A. I don't know if you listen to it. It's crazy. And so anyway, Chick-fil-A is close on Sunday. Now, the owner, Kathy Truitt, is a Christian. A believer, and he says this in his book. He says, closing our business on Sunday, the Lord's Day, is our way of honoring God and showing our loyalty to Him, the Chick-fil-A writer writes. He says, in fact, my brother Ben and I, when we opened the restaurant in 1946, this sandwich has been around since 1946. He says, when we opened the restaurant, he said, we decided the first Sunday we were going to close it. We're going to keep it closed on Sunday. And he said, I am committed. He said, my children are committed that every Sunday we are going to close the Chick-fil-A so as to honor God and to keep Him first. Now, you remember that back in the day when everything was shut down on a Sunday? After church, you didn't go anywhere. You went home and then you visited your grandma and your great grandmas and your aunties and your uncles. You visited them because that's what you did on a Sunday. You honored God and you honored the family. Times have changed. Rarely do people wake up even to go to church, much less if they go to church, then for sure we're doing something after on our Sunday. Well, Chick-fil-A, you will never find a Chick-fil-A open on a Sunday. Now, it doesn't matter if you're at a football game and there's 100,000 people. If it's on Sunday, they choose to close. At an airport, Sunday, it's closed. No matter where you are, the Chick-fil-A has decided to honor God. Now, I believe, and I don't know if this is not necessarily in the Bible, but I think it's a true statement. I believe that Chick-fil-A has the favor of God. The Chick-fil-A is the number one chicken restaurant in America. Number one. It beats every restaurant. It beats Popeyes. It beats whatever your favorite chicken restaurant is. It's coming on top. It's getting close to even being close to the Burger Kings and all those kind of things. What has happened is that because they have honored God and kept their Sundays for the Lord, the Bible, I believe that the Bible and God has blessed them. And they have the favor of God. Have you ever seen Chick-fil-A whenever it is like on Martin Luther King and it's wrapped around? In fact, there's cars on Martin Luther King just to eat that chicken sandwich. Now, that is the favor of God, because look at Popeyes. Doesn't it look much better? And I believe that God, in fact, listen to this. Chick-fil-A If they were to open on a Sunday, business people say that if Chick-fil-A for 1 year would open on Sundays, they would make $1.2 billion. If they would just open up their restaurants, comparative to every day of the week and how much they make on other days, they are losing out on $1.2 billion by closing on a Sunday. But here's what the owner of Chick-fil-A thinks. God is blessing the 6 days, and that's why they're the number one Chick-fil-A chicken company. And he said, because we have honored the Lord with our seventh day. And they're the most generous and giving company. In fact, next week, come, you're going to get a free meal from Chick-fil-A. We're getting a whole bunch of cards coming in from Chick-fil-A. Why? Because they believe in honoring the Lord. And that, my friend, is the favor. Somebody say favor. Y'all say favor. Today, we're learning about the favor of God. Now, if the favor of God can be on a chicken sandwich company, the favor of God can be over your life. Amen? I mean, this is not just for Chick-fil-A. This is for you as a believer. And so today, we're going to search that word out and say, God, can I really have the favor of God? Now, look at our theme verse for the month is Luke 2 in verse 52. And I want you to read that with me. It says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor. Everybody say favor. And favor with God and with man. Now notice there's a progression. The favor doesn't come before the wisdom. The favor doesn't come before the stature. So all the time and whenever something's written, you have to notice the progression. So as you grow in wisdom with God, spiritual wisdom, you're digging into the word. As you grow in wisdom spiritually and financially, then we talked about last week how you will grow in stature. That means that you, not only do you repent of your sins, but then you ask God to forgive you, you get baptized, and then you begin to grow in stature. You begin to tell others about Jesus. You begin to grow in your walk with the Lord. And when you do that, and when you surrender your life to the Lord completely over and over again, the Bible says that you can increase in favor. Somebody say favor. Now favor, it's favor that we want. We want the favor of God. Now notice, God is looking for someone to throw his favor on. He wants to throw his favor on some of you today. In fact, he wants to throw his favor on all of you. In the book of 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, it says this. It says, the eyes of the Lord. Now look at this, the eyes. It's personification of who God is. It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And you say, well, Tara, I can't be perfect. Not one of us in the building are perfect, but really that word means perfected. That God is asking you, he's looking for someone through and out the whole earth to show himself strong in. He's saying, I want to show myself strong in your life. I want to do a work in your life, not just for you, but for generations coming behind you. And here's how God does it. He perfects us. It means this, that we are growing and we keep on. And we don't stop and we don't throw in the towel because it gets hard or because something bad happens. God says, I want to put my favor. I want to put the touch of God on your life. I want to put the touch of God on your family. I want to put the touch of God on your kids and your kids' kids. I want to put the favor. Somebody say favor of God on your life. Now, this week I've been thinking about what the favor of God is. And so I thought of people. What exactly is favor? You might, well, I don't use that word. I don't use the word favor. So we got a definition. Favor is the state of being approved are held in high regard. When we're talking about favor, now in the Hebrew, which is the Old Testament, the word favor was to give the approval. You would have the approval of someone. You ever had the approval of someone and they let you do something because you were their kid or that boss allowed you because you had the approval of that person? That's called favor. Somebody say favor. Now, favor is in the Old Testament the approval, but in the New Testament, in the word that we're using today, the word favor is charis. Now, that's a very fancy sounding word. And what it means is there is a graciousness towards someone else. Now, in the Bible, where Luke 2:52, it says that God would have a graciousness towards you. And then not only would you have a graciousness from God, but as you grow in that, that you would have a graciousness with others. So today we want to look at that word favor. The first time you see the word, every time you see the word, any first word, it's important in the Bible. So the first time that you see this word favor is actually in Genesis chapter 6. We're going to turn another screen. Genesis chapter 6. You ready for this? It says this: Noah found what? Noah found favor. Now, I was reading through Genesis, and I found that so interesting. The first person, you skip Adam, you skip Eve, you skip their kids, and in Genesis 6, it says that Noah found favor with the Lord. Why? Because Noah followed the Lord. You notice that? Now, it wasn't that God, Noah got favor because he was just Noah. Noah got favor because when God asked him to build an ark, he said yes. When God asked him to do that, even with no evidence of what rain is, God still said, I'm going to, because you followed me, because you looked at me, because you honored me, it says Noah found favor with the Lord. And so in Genesis 6, 8, the first word that we see is that Noah found favor with the Lord. Now look at all the other examples. It says this, Joseph. Now the next person that we see is in Genesis. It says Joseph experienced what? You got to stay with me. Joseph experienced what? Favor, because the Lord was with him. It didn't mean that Joseph didn't go through trials. Joseph went through many trials. In fact, he was sold into slavery. Even though he had a dream when he was a kid, he sold into slavery. He ends up going to someone else's house. They accuse him of committing adultery. He gets thrown into prison. He has some friends. He interprets their dreams. He tells the right thing. He says, when you go before the king, remember me. They forget him. And he spends another 2 years in prison. And so here we are, yet Joseph experienced favor because the Lord, everybody say the Lord. So the favor comes from the Lord. The way that we get favor is continuing to follow God and surrendering to what God has for us. Notice the next one, the children of Israel. They found favor with the Egyptians because the Lord, everybody say the Lord, gave it. Remember them? They were crying out, and God, we've been in slavery for 400 years, and they begin to ask the Lord to move on their behalf, and what happens? God hears, and then not only does he hear, he finds someone who also has the favor, everybody say favor, of God. Look at the next one. It says Moses in Exodus. No, the next slide. Moses, Exodus 33 and verse 17. Moses found favor in the sight of God. See, leaders, if you're going to lead well, you need the favor of God over your life. If you're pushing for a position of leadership in your community or at your job, you're going to need, everybody, you're going to need the favor of God. You're going to need to be obedient to him so that the favor of God blesses you, but also blesses, look, like Moses, the children of Israel. And I love this one, Ruth. In the Bible, four chapters, Ruth found favor. And in chapter one, her husband dies, and she follows her mother-in-law, Naomi, and she says, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. She is surrendered. She's all in. She's like, God, I'm going to follow you no matter the cost. And so in Ruth chapter 2, it says this, because of that, in Ruth chapter 2, it says Ruth found what? She found favor with Boaz because of God's goodness. Now, Ruth didn't deserve the favor. She got the favor because of who? God. See, whenever we walk in the favor of God, it's nothing of us. We've surrendered to him. We've given our life. We've given our ambition. We've given our money. We've given our talent to him. And then God says, here comes, because of that, here comes the favor of God. Now look at the next one. Samuel found favor. He's a prophet. He found favor with the Lord and with what? It's the first time you see it. You also see someone walking in the favor of God And because of the favor of God, he also has the favor of people. Wouldn't you like that? The favor of God on your job so that he gives you the promotion. You have the favor of God with people. People just like you. They come to you. They ask you for questions. You give them answers. Why? That's the favor of God and also the favor of people. Look at the next slide. It says Esther found what? Favor and kindness with her king. If you know her story, she goes before the king and she asks God to spare her Jews, her people. God says she's appointed for that. And yet Esther found favor. And the next one, it says Daniel found what? Favor and compassion from the officials. But Daniel surrendered his life to Christ. I'm not just talking about said a prayer. I'm saying the man spent time with the Lord. He honored the Lord. He said, God, whatever you want. And because of that, Daniel found favor. Look at the next one, Mary. Now, you know she had favor, right? Mary, the mother of Jesus, found favor with the Lord to birth the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You better have some favor on your life, because I don't know how you would even mother the perfect one, but she did that with the favor of God on her life. It says Jesus found favor with God and with people. And then look at this one, the early church. If you read through Acts, it is so inspiring to see that the early church found favor with people. And then it says this, and they had the blessing of the Lord on them. So not only did you have favor with God and the church grew, it says they had the blessing of the Lord on them. It's God's favor, his kindness, his approval, his blessing, his grace, his regard over your life, over your life. That's what favor is. Now the question becomes, how do I get it? If we know what favor is, then the question you need to ask yourself is, God, I would like that favor in my life. Here's the good news. God doesn't play favorites. You ever been in a family and they play favorites? You grew up in a family like that? They always said, oh, we don't have favorites, baby, but you always knew you weren't the favorite. And so there was someone else that was a little bit more favorite than you were. And so the good news today is God doesn't play favorites. He doesn't have, oh, well, I like this person, but I don't like you. You've screwed up too much. God never plays that kind of game. And so God is just looking to put his favor over your life. Now, here's what it says in Galatians 1 verse 10. And I love this. It says in Galatians 1 verse 10, it says, am I now trying to win the favor and approval of man? So there's the connection. If you want the favor of God, you're not going to have the favor of man. Too many of us play in the world. We hold on to too much of the world. Oh, yes, we want the favor of God. We want God's hand on our life. Absolutely. Okay, well, are you ready to give up the things of the world for the favor of God? See, that's who Noah was. That's who Joseph was. That's who Mary was. That's who Ruth was. They decided in their heart, I do want the favor of God, so much so that I'm giving up myself. You see, you can't go to the places that you used to go to and have the favor of God on your life. You just can't. You can't hang around with the same people that you used to hang around with and have the favor of God over your life. You can't say the things you used to do. You can't listen to the things you used to listen to, not if you want the favor of God. And so this verse is saying you're hanging on to the world and you want the favor of God and you wonder why. Well, God, why are you not blessing me? God, why are you not taking and honoring? Because you're in the world. You continue to go back and dabble in the things of this world. You will never have the favor of God. You'll have partial favor. You'll have sometimes favor. But I want 100% favor of God. I can't go back and forth. I can't keep on being one way and the other. And so he says, am I now trying to win the favor and approval of man or God? Or am I seeking to please someone? If I were still trying to be popular with men, he says, I would not. That's Paul writing. I would not be a bondservant of Christ. If you want the favor of God, stop dabbling in the world. Stop participating in what the world participates in and say, you know what? This is worth surrendering everything. This week I was this month, we've been preaching this one sentence for 1 month and all of January. And we've been looking at it and saying, God, what do you have? What do you have? And so I've been preaching this over my family. I have been praying this verse over my family. God, that they would increase in wisdom. Amen. I need my kids to increase in wisdom, that they would increase in stature. My family, me too. And God, I pray that we would increase in favor with God and with man. And this would happen if we would start believing God for it. So let me show you a couple of verses that would show you the favor of God. In Numbers 6 in verse 25, the priest, Aaron, he was praying this blessing over the people. Now, there's a power in blessing. There's a, just like there's a power in cursing, you know, like performing a curse, there is a power in blessing. And it says this in Numbers 6:25. Aaron, the priest, the pastor, if you would, says this: may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. And as I'm thinking over that verse this week, I was like, you ever, as a mom or a dad, your kids, they come in the building and I don't know, they've done something great, but your face just radiates with joy. They've said something really funny. For me, it's always that, be funny. And so, you know, they come in and all of a sudden, like, they just make you ever saw a grandparent and all of a sudden they see their grandkids and their face, what? It radiates with joy. They're so excited to see their kids. Look at this. The personification of God is this, is that he is saying that God's face would radiate with joy over you. Everybody say, over me. See, some of you in the room, you've never had anybody radiate with joy over you ever. No one showed up for you. No one spoke goodness into your life. And yet here is the priest saying this: may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. And may he be gracious to you and show you his what? His favor. That was a blessing, a priestly blessing. And it says, and when the favor of God comes, notice the next word that says, and give you his what? His peace. You see, right now in the middle of this storm that we are going through, we would need the peace of God. How do you get the peace of God? Through the favor of God, the blessing of God. Some of us just need to sleep through a night. You know what I'm talking about? We're so full of anxiety and depression. And yet God says, when you have my favor, you can sleep through a night. Why? Because you also have the peace of God over you. In 1 Chronicles 4 verses 9 and 10, it says this. I love this. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed. My father prayed this over us at our marriage. It says, oh Lord, that you would bless me indeed, and you would enlarge my territory. Doesn't that sound good? That you would be with me. And then it says, and that you would keep me from evil. Knowing that if you have the favor, you got to be careful not to use it for evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him. Look at that. God granted him what he requested, that God would show favor over your life. In Psalm 90, verse 17, it says this, and let the beauty and the delightfulness and favor, somebody say favor. Let the beauty and the delightfulness, that God would delight in you, and the favor of the Lord our God be upon you. Confirm and establish. Wouldn't you like that? That God would confirm and establish the work of your hands. Whether you're mothering, whether you're doing your job, in your singleness, that God would establish the work of your hands. Whether you're a young person, that God would establish the work of your hands. Yes, the work of our hands. Confirm it and establish it. The favor. Somebody say favor. Of God. See, we're going to have the worship team come back onto the stage. We're getting ready to sing a song that talks about the favor of God. See, the interesting thing is, as Jesus increased with favor with God, he also increased with man. So as you increase, as you begin to grow in stature, and as you grow in wisdom, the Bible says God's favor would be over your life. His grace, his benevolence, his blessing, his courtesy, his regard, God's esteem, that God's face would radiate. Some of you in the room can't even think that way. You're always worried about if God's going to send a lightning bolt to strike you down. And God says, I've been dancing over you. He says, my face radiates with joy over you. Just like a grandparent when their grandkids walk into the room. Just like a father who sees their kid and they say, Daddy. As soon as you say, Daddy, his face is just radiating with joy over your life. I know this to be true. Because I'm an example of God's favor. When I was in first grade, I wasn't able to read. I went through kindergarten. I actually failed kindergarten. That was before you had to read in kindergarten. This was just like cutting. I failed it. There were things that were just wrong in my brain, I guess. And I don't really know all the details of it, but I know that I couldn't read. I had what was probably dyslexia. They never claimed it because they didn't know about it that back then. I would flip all my words, all my letters. The same time my mom and my dad gave their life to the Lord about that time. And they began to change their ways. They didn't hold on to any part of the world. I know because I saw it like face to face, the change in them. And God just, my mom just began to pray for me that I would be able to read, that I would be able to make sentences and form sentences. And I remember she would send letters in the mail. She would send a letter. You remember that snail mail? And you would send a letter to someone. And so she would send a letter. I would open it up and she would make me sit at the table and read. And by the end of first grade, best reader in the class. God just showed his favor over my life. Just the graciousness of God. When I was in ninth grade, I gave my life to the Lord. I was very shy, very quiet. I stuttered. I wasn't really like, I just didn't get out there a lot. In ninth grade, I gave my life to the Lord and I started surrendering everything. Whatever it is, God, whatever you want. Not perfect, but God was perfecting me. In 11th grade, I go right before my 11th grade year, I'm in band and I try out for drum major. Drum major is the person who directs the band. We had a really big band, a lot of people in band. They had 14, 15 kids try out. They pick one. There was no way that I was gifted enough. There was no way that I was good enough. There was nothing. But for whatever reason, God showed me his favor. And I made drum major that year in high school. And I was able to direct and lead a band for 2 years. And it was just the favor of God positioning me for where he wanted me to be at in my life. I go to college. And they pay for me to go to the university. This is before TOPS. They paid for me to go to college. I'm in college and I dedicated my life to the Lord. I said, God, whatever you want. I was with this Christian group called the Baptist Student Union. And for every year, every weekend, we would go and share to young people about Jesus. But I never got a chance because I was a woman. And they didn't let women speak or preach. And so I just, you know, faithfully served the Lord. And I remember I was at rallies. I worked at rallies on the east side. I flipped burgers really good. I could do everything in the whole restaurant really good. And so that summer I spent my time at rallies and I was just praying for the favor and the blessing of the Lord. And I remember I went out and they got a phone call and they said, Tamara, we want you to preach. We're doing a revival for kids. And all the boys are on mission trips doing great things for the Lord. And since you're working at rallies doing nothing, we figured we'll have you because there's really nobody else to ask. There's nobody else to ask. And I said, I have never spoken before. I've never spoken in front of an audience before. I stuttered when I was in first grade. I couldn't read. There's a lot of issues, God. And I remember this, I said, sure, I'll do it. And I remember going, it was at Thibodeau, First Baptist of Thibodeau. And I walk in the room and they had really hyped this meeting up. Like it was gonna be the best thing ever. Back in the day, you give people pizza, they were coming. And to anything that you did, nowadays, I don't know. And so we got a bunch of pizza in the room. I remember about 100 kids packed out in the room. And I was the speaker, I was the guest speaker. And I don't know what I spoke about. I don't know what I said. All I know is at the end of the service, I asked everybody to bow their head and people just started crying and weeping and giving their life to the Lord. Out of a person who could not speak, a person who always stuttered, out of a person that was shy and not even able to really do anything for the Lord, God began to show the favor and the mercy of God over my life. And the good news is he wants to do that for you. He wants to open up doors that no man can open. He wants to show you the favor of God. And this is not just about you. This is also for the generation coming behind you. That's why we're to stay steady and to stay faithful, because there is a generation, whether you have kids or not, there is a generation coming behind you that also need the favor and the graciousness of God. So here's what we want you to do. We want you to stand to your feet, and we're going to be like Aaron, and we're going to pray and sing a blessing over you, but we want you to sing it with us. And as you're standing to your feet all across the building, can we just pray this over you? May the Lord bless and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because of you. May He be gracious to you and show you His favor and give you His peace. And let the beauty and the delightfulness and favor of the Lord God be upon you, that He would confirm and establish the work of your hands. Yes, the work of your hands, God, our hands, that You would confirm and establish it. Let's sing together.
Children and their children, may His favor before you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and your children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and behind you, all around you and within you. He is with you, he is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going, in your weeping, in your rejoicing. He is for you, 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 he is for you,
some of y'all need to be reminded. He is for me. 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 He doesn't stand against us. Come on. Because he's for me. He is for me. He is for me. He is for me, he is with me, he is with me, he is with me.
grow in wisdom and we grow in stature and surrender. But that you would have the favor of God over our lives and the favor of man. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. We love you guys. See you this Wednesday at 6.